transport company based in Memphis. They have centers in other places, 20-some other cities. But Alan went that direction. Dr. Bright started in business and went into direct ministry. And here's Alan, who started, he thought, in direct ministry. And his ministry has now happened in his business, most probably like most of us. He says he has an amazing life, but a boring resume. Alan, you got to come and tell us what that's about. I know you have six kids. I know you don't have a boring life, but you have an interesting resume, and we want to hear your story. Say hi to Alan Barnhart. Alan?
It is really an honor to be here, and I wish my wife could be with me. She is a much better speaker than I. She spent the last couple weeks in Nigeria and just couldn't leave the kids to come. I send greetings from her. I say I have a boring resume because I've worked for the same company since I was 10 years old. And I hear all these other guys that work a place 5 years and do something impressive and go someplace else for 5 years. And I think, man, I've just been plugging along doing the same thing since I was 10. I came to Christ at Frontier Ranch with Young Life. Went off to college in a time when a lot of people jettison their faith and their morals. And for me, it was completely the opposite. I went to the University of Tennessee and got involved with InterVarsity and Young Life and grew tremendously in my faith in college. Halfway through my senior year, my roommate and I, we'd always challenge each other, and we started talking about world hunger and specifically about the famines that were going on in Ethiopia at that time. And we started wrestling with it how can this be? What can we do? And started asking ourselves a question of how can we live like we're living, the lifestyle that we have, when brothers and sisters in Christ are starving to death? And we wrestled with that for a few days and decided that we needed to do something. And we had planned to go skiing out in Colorado a few months later. And we decided to take the $350 that we were going to spend to go skiing and send it to World Relief, or World Vision, I think it was, to help the situation in Ethiopia. And we instead went to the local lake for spring break. It was probably the only sacrificial gift I've ever made in my life. And I know that my $350 didn't change much about Ethiopia, but it changed me. And it was a turning point in my life. It gave me a heart for the poor and an interest. Graduated from college, and people were advising me to go do something significant with your life. Go into full-time ministry. Anybody can do construction. Go into full-time ministry. But I felt that God was calling me into business and that he had gifted me in the area of business. And so I came back and worked in the family company. My parents weren't believers, but it was what I chose to do. The first few years out of college, though, because of that experience, I started studying Scripture. And I read every verse in Scripture, I think, that had to do with money or wealth or the poor or giving. And I wrote them all down and cataloged them. And it was an amazing study for a few years. And what came from that study was, I guess I'd use the word fear. Maybe we're not supposed to fear, so maybe a healthy respect for a fear of the possible effects of affluence on my life and how worldly success can equal spiritual failure. Now, I'm not a guy who's given to irrational fears. My wife and a lot of guys at work would say the opposite is the case. I could use a little bit more fear than I have. But I think that it's not irrational. I think Scripture is full of warnings. And I'll read a few. Christ talked about storing up treasure in heaven and not storing up treasure on earth, and that you can't do both. And the story of the soils, where he said one seed was choked out by the deceitfulness of riches. One that is especially poignant to me is in 1 Timothy 6, where it says, "People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and who pierced themselves with many griefs." Who wants that? Who wants ruin and destruction? Who wants to wander from the faith? But there are so many scriptures about it that I think it has to be a warning that we take very seriously. Another one that I think, let me read in the fifth chapter of James, where it talks about, it says, "Listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." Skipping on down, "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter." This is from the book of James. Maybe the one that was the most compelling to me was the parable that Christ told in Luke 12. He starts it by saying, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And then he goes on and tells the parable about the guy who had a great crop, and he filled up his barn and he built bigger barns, and he was a success. I'm sure his neighbors thought he was really a successful guy. And at the end of that, God said to him, "You fool, you got it wrong. You lived your whole life with one paradigm, and the paradigm was wrong. And it leads to your destruction." And then it says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God." So when you read all these verses, can you see where maybe some fear or some healthy respect of there's a danger out there in affluence that came into my life and was a big part of some future decisions? During that time, I also got married and had a wonderful wife. We decided after when we were engaged that we were going to go to Saudi Arabia as missionaries. I was a civil engineer, and so I could get in there, and my wife, she would be willing to go anywhere, anytime, even today. And so we decided to do that. But before we went, as we were in preparation to go, my dad came to us and said, "Listen, my mom and dad had started the company, and that we're going to leave the business and we're going to go sailing, and we're going to sail around the world. And if you want to start, your own business and take over basically what I've been doing, you can do that. And if you want to go on the mission field, then I'll just sell this thing." And so we had this decision to make, and we kept thinking about it, and we kept praying, and my wife would say, "Let's go on the mission field," and I felt that God was calling us to stay and do this business. And we kept voting, and it kept being 1-1. And finally, she just said, "Okay, I'm going to submit to you, and I think that you're wrong, and I think that you'll probably, I think that you'll probably get swallowed by a whale. And then we can go on the mission field." That warned us about that. And so we made a decision on the front end before we had any money and before when business was just starting. And the decision was this: we're going to set for ourselves a financial finish line, a salary, a middle-class salary that we're going to make. And if God chooses to bless this business beyond what it takes to generate that salary, we're not going to see it as a call to increase our lifestyle, but instead we're going to see it as an opportunity to take that money and use it to fund ministry. And so that was the commitment that we made on the front end. The second thing that we did is we told other people about that commitment. We made the commitment before the Lord, but we also told others, including people within our company. And that locked in our decision. It gave us some real accountability. And I'm not up here to teach, but if I were, I would say, have a healthy fear, set a financial finish line, and lock it in by establishing accountability, because it has really served us well. We set out not to get rich. We set out to try to avoid being rich. What has happened over the last 22 years is that the company has grown at an amazing rate. We've grown about 25% a year for the last 22 years. And so now we're a company of about $250 million and 900 people working all over the country. And God has just dumped amazing amounts on us. Malachi 3 God says, "Test me in this and see that I'll open the floodgates and I'll give you more than you can stand." And that's what he's done. And I think often, I'm not a prosperity guy, and I think often that blessing is not financial, but for us that blessing has really been a lot of business success. And through that, we have continued to draw a salary from the company. And it's not a sacrificial salary. We live just fine. The poverty level, we have 6 children. The poverty level for a family of 8 is $35,000. And that's about $4,400 per person, which would put you actually in the top 15% of people in the world. If you lived at the poverty level, that would put you in the top 15% of the world. And we live at about 3.5 times that level. So our salary is not a sacrificial salary. We make about $125,000 a year and have everything that we need. Another problem developed, though, is the company continued to grow, and we had set out not to get rich, but we're in a very capital-intensive business, and so we had the net worth of the company grew and grew and grew, and the company got to be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's a lot of hassle associated with trying to figure out what to do with something of that value and how to transfer it if someone dies, and lots of money and lots of energy gets spent trying to do that. And as we were in the process of doing that, we said, this is God's company, and we shouldn't be spending all this money trying to figure out this transfer. Instead, we should give this company away. And we went to several lawyers and legal advisors, and they said, you can't do that. That doesn't work. That's crazy. And we finally ran into the folks at the National Christian Foundation, who were amazing. And they showed us how to do what we wanted to do. And we were able to basically give away 99% of the company, but maintain control of the company so we can transfer the stewardship of the company without transferring the value. And I think the value has so much danger, but the stewardship has so much power, and the company can continue to be a ministry funding tool for years to come. The company has been able to give away tens of millions of dollars and been involved in all kinds of ministries, and it has been a real treat. Some people would say that you're crazy to do that. That's nuts. But I don't think it's crazy at all. I think it's perfectly logical. I think it makes perfect sense. The day that we made that transfer, my balance sheet changed a lot. But my life didn't change at all. And it has been a tremendous blessing. For those who would say we're crazy, I would say I wouldn't trade my life. I wouldn't change direction at all. Giving has been great fun. I'm convinced that it is much more fun to be a giver than it is to be a consumer. And it has been a treat. And I'd also say this, even if it were not fun, even if it were not fulfilling, I think that we should be obedient and we should be good stewards. And the great thing is that God is so gracious to us in that when we do it God's way, He gives us abundant life. And we have certainly found that. The second great benefit of giving has been tremendous relationships and experiences with brothers and sisters around the world. We give 90% of our money overseas because we see a disproportionate need there. And it has been such a treat to travel around the world. I've been to over 50 different countries seeing what God is doing and seeing amazing people who are doing amazing things with resources that are really scant, and just being able to come alongside a little bit can greatly help them. We've also had those people in our home, and just the benefit of those relationships have been great. The third fringe benefit, or third benefit, has been just a freedom. Ron was talking about people have the fear of losing what they have, and we have not really experienced that. To hold things with an open hand and say, God, this is all yours, is freeing. And there's been such a freedom that has come from allowing God to have what we what He's to let God continue to control what He's given us. And the fourth benefit has been in the area of our raising of our children. Our children have had the benefit of not having to grow up as rich kids, which is a difficult thing for kids to do. They've also had the benefit of seeing the world. We've traveled with them a lot. And we've also had benefit of people from in all types of ministries sitting at the dinner table talking about what they do. And so our kids' perspective has been broadened. And we believe in leaving our kids a rich inheritance. And we are trying to do that. We think that has very little to do with money. In fact, we think it would be almost counterproductive most often, to leave them money. But we'd want to leave them a very rich inheritance. I hope that the result of my time here has not been that you guys are impressed at all with me. I'm a very mediocre person who is lazy and sinful. And I don't do many of the things that I should do. And I think that many of you are probably like that too. But we, if it gets right down to it, but we serve an amazing God. who blesses us and loves us and provides for us. And he is worthy of the honor and the praise and the glory. Amen? Amen. All right.